Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today is Chris LaPointe, Vice President of Product Management at SolarWinds. We grabbed him up at the airport 2 hours ago and dragged him in here complete with suitcase just to give you all the information about a company called SolarWinds. How are you today, Chris?
Great, great. How about you, John?
So world traveler that you are, flying into town, I'd like to say just for this interview, but I think you're going to trade show tomorrow. We can talk about that later on. Tell us a little about your background, Chris, and how you wound up working for SolarWinds, please.
Sure. So I started off as a programmer. And eventually wanted to understand more of the customer aspects of how people were actually using IT software. So very quickly, early on my career, I ventured over to the dark side of product management, product marketing. And through a series of different companies, small, medium size, so IBM, Tivoli, Pentasafe, through a number of different security, different companies, and then eventually ended up at SolarWinds back in 2006.
So SolarWinds based in Texas, but sure has a strong federal presence, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So we have office here, and we have a number of customers of really every single agency. So if you think about DOD to civilian, we're really in virtually all of them.
A lot of them. We've had SolarWinds in the studio before. We had Sanjay on, and he was a very good interview. We talked about this strange little community called THWACK,
right.
And we're going to mention that a little bit. What I always do is I always go to LinkedIn, look up people's profile, look up the company profile, and I looked at the company profile for SolarWinds on LinkedIn, and I saw this big, huge thing, whodunit. What's this whodunit stuff? Do you know what that is?
The whodunit stuff?
Yeah. It's a thwack community. They have this weekly competition to find something. I don't know. I thought this was kind of an interesting thing for a company, a website to have.
Yeah, absolutely. So we run many different contests. I honestly can't keep track of all of them. But the key is that the community is really a compilation of not only our end users, but folks from SolarWinds. So folks from my team on the product management side, engineering, as well as different network engineers, system administrators, database administrators, storage admins that all sort of come together to offer best practices and tips about how to better do their jobs.
And there's certainly a lot of them. There's a lot, your blog has got a lot of them. You go to YouTube, you get a lot of videos that all kinds of different folks. And you have these characters called the Geek Speak blog or something. Well, what's
geek
that
geeks,
all about?
The head geeks. In fact, I would claim sort of in the past that I was actually one of them. I don't contribute as often as I would like to on the community, but I'm still, I think, on that one of the top points leaders on our THWACK community. But yeah, we have head geeks, and their job is really to evangelize not only our products, right, which is an obvious thing for the evangelize, but really technology in general and how it can be better used and applied for the practitioner that is dealing with all the change that's currently happening within the IT environment.
And you know, I mentioned earlier about Mike Olson. He was here from Cloudera. He said that in the last 20 years, he's never seen enterprise software change as much as has had in the last year. There's so much new stuff to know, isn't there?
There is. You talk about cloud, bring your own whatever, right? Bring your own technology these days, mobility, everything as a service. So all of those different trends, I think we can safely say they're trends now, not fads, right, that are taking hold within IT departments. Some of the things IT is actually driving adoption of, other things is just happening to them. And so in certain ways, it's, you know, they're treading water and there are people throwing weights to them. And so they're trying to figure out how to make sense of all this. And I think that's where enterprise software and players like SolarWinds are really well equipped to hopefully answer that challenge for the poor IT practitioners that are having to deal with all of this.
So company started in 1999 and has grown very rapidly since then, has a lot of tools to help my listeners manage networks. Good summary statement there. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, actually, that's a great summary statement. That is our heritage was network. We've since expanded out quite a bit since 1999 to systems management, virtualization, database performance management, and really the full stack of application and IT infrastructure management. So really anything you can think of in terms of troubleshooting IT, that's really something that SolarWinds wants to be a part of.
Do you do anything with copy data management, Chris?
We don't. I did read the last interview that you had. I can't remember the name of the company, Actifio. That right? It was really interesting. Like, I had never thought about that particular use case. So it's an interesting niche for them. Hopefully they're successful.
Yeah, I think it branches out of backup products where they look for duplicates and it branched out of that. And I thought it's kind of interesting. I didn't know how well that was received in, for example, in your community, because this is a gentleman up in Boston. You're in Texas, you know, Austin-Boston connection. I thought there was a connection there or something. And I just didn't know if that was as part of your – you have a whole suite of applications here.
We do. And so we definitely have capabilities around database performance analysis, so looking at wait times as you look at transactions that are – ultimately ending up at the database layer and what's going on there. So beyond just understanding that the query is taking a long time, what's actually going on within the database? And so we definitely have a lot of database administrators that are probably experiencing some of the same challenges in terms of backup imaging of databases and just the multitude and myriad of copies they have of that as they manage through their backup process. So I can definitely see there being a niche there to be carved out.
And that's just really on a 30-point checklist of what my listeners have to do every day. That is one line item. I mean, there's all kinds of line items. Virtualization is one. Just managing the virtualization. And you have a lot of tools that'll help my audience do that. In the commercial world, we've got the public cloud, the private cloud, and we've got the hybrid cloud. And everyone's looking at what Amazon is doing and new tools and talking about Redshift and Kinesis and all this new stuff that's going on. Well, my federal listeners, they read the same publications and they're interested in stuff as well. And so I think one of their challenges is just in managing all these new types of technologies that come out there is that if company A comes up with a technology like virtualization, does that by definition mean that their tools to manage the virtualization will be the best? I mean, happy, huh?
Right, right. And I think it's important to look at it in context of, you know, at least the way that I would frame it as sort of the big picture, right? So in its simplest, users are connecting through networks to applications, right? The issue is that users are connecting from anywhere, anything these days through networks that are becoming more complex to applications that might reside in the public cloud. It might reside in the private cloud. It may actually be some combination thereof where they have database running on bare metal connecting to a web tier that's actually hosted in Amazon. And so that complexity is really what I think IT practitioners really need to think about as they consider tools is how do they get end-to-end visibility versus just visibility into one specific tier.
In a complex environment, well, back in the day when I was studying for my Microsoft test, we'd have one server and you'd load the operating system on the one server. Then you'd have to set permissions and the firewall and everything else. That was really child's play compared to the number of systems you have to manage today. And it's just so complicated. I deal with software developers all the time. I just got off a one-hour telephone call with a guy in Hungary, a guy in L.A., and two folks here in Virginia. And we're talking about very complex systems and certain types of integration with them. And geography, it was not even an issue. It was just a matter of focusing on this very complicated problem. So I'm just thinking about 6 or 7 years ago, I never thought of doing business that way. But the complexity is forcing you to find experts in different areas that have specific types of knowledge. And I think that's what SolarWinds is all about. It has looked at the different technologies that are out there, and it has offerings at many different levels that my listeners can take advantage of.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the way that we approach the problem, I think, is a little bit unique, or we would assert very unique, in that in addition to just providing the point of pain tools, right, around virtualization management, storage management, database systems, and network, we've provided a platform that actually integrates all of that together so that you can start wherever you like, but as you add more pieces, right, as you think about the bigger picture and you start adding in network plus server and application, that you actually get those things stitched together in a way that the experience makes sense and you can troubleshoot faster, better, and hopefully collaborate, if you end up in a siloed organization where network guys don't talk to the systems guys, that you have some platform that can hopefully be Switzerland and point out, is it application or is it network? So you can at least start the troubleshooting experience on common ground.
And that may be the pain point for my listeners, is that something slowing down must be the network. Well, maybe it's not the network. Well, it's real slow. The people on the third floor are complaining because it's slow, and they dump it on the desk of my listeners. And they go, okay, Chris, you're the nerd. You figured out what's wrong. It's got to be a throughput, right? Well, I mean, talk about checklist. You get out your checklist, and it may be 10 on a list, huh?
Right, absolutely. Well, the network always gets blamed. In fact, that's actually one of our most popular buttons that we hand out at trade shows is, no, it's not the network. And obviously, the network guys love that. And I think that, you know, that's really what it comes down to is that, you know, with IT convergence, there isn't a way to actually separate out all of the different pieces of the infrastructure anymore.
We've got to separate this interview because we have a commercial break coming up. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Chris LaPointe, Vice President, Product Management at SolarWinds. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Chris LaPointe, Vice President, Product Management at SolarWinds. It's a company based in Texas, big federal presence. And they started off with helping my listeners manage the network, and they've moved on to many, many different areas. What a lot of companies do is they actually try to interview users to find out what they want. What a surprise. I mean, that's a good idea. Yeah. And so what you folks have done is you've interviewed govies, federal IT professionals, and said, hey, my name's Chris. Tell me what's important for you in managing your network. What kind of issues, what kind of problems you have? I think that's a great start, isn't it? And so tell us about this little survey you guys did.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so certainly, yeah, it's a you know, very unique approach, as you said. You know, start with actually talking with the customers to understand what they care about and what they're faced with in terms of challenges. So we did a recent survey of around 150 IT professionals within the public sector, and what we found was that virtually every single one of the respondents, 94%, felt that increasing complexity has at least somewhat, if not greatly, affected their role over the past 3 to 5, or will affect their role over the next 3 to 5 years.
I was doing some research for this interview, and I went to Network World and a couple of the publications, and I typed in SolarWinds competitors. And I tell you, this is not a commercial, but I went to 3 or 4 different, you know, roundups or company, and you guys are all on top. And the competition, I've never heard of. And so you must have a real strong product. And I think that the listener should realize that, no, these guys are for real, and they have a strong product, and you can test drive it. I love me some test driving. I test drove some stuff yesterday. So you can go to SolarWinds.com and just download a product and see if it fits for you, huh? Pretty good?
Yeah. In fact, our mantra, right, so the words that we sort of live by, certainly my product management team, but really just how we build software in general, is that it has to be fast, easy, and affordable. So fast to deploy, easy to use, and then affordable so that the IT practitioner can actually, as you said, test drive it. If they like it, you know, they potentially can even drive the budgeting process to buy it versus it having to be a tops-down sort of initiative.
When I do shows on website development, I get artsy types in, and they talk about UI, UX, user. But mm-hmm. This is an essential part of your tool, isn't it? I mean, UI is by the way, when you do research on this, the UI is rated very high for your products.
Yes. I think that one of the things that we decided early on was that we needed to have user experience in the UI to create an emotional connection with the end user. Given that we're selling directly to the IT practitioners, that was essential. So we formed early on a really significant, probably more significant than many software companies, user experience team to specifically focus on that, to do the user research, and as you said, really understand the problems and how IT practitioners actually want to solve them.
So let's go back to the study. 94% increasing complexity made their lives more difficult. I would imagine that with all the new products coming out there, if you just take a look at Amazon Web Services and the products they've released in the last year, I mean, it's difficult just to keep up with, okay, where do you use Redshift? Okay, what about EC2? Okay, what about Linux containers? And where's that fit in with Amazon? And what's Microsoft have to offer? And then April 1st, they change all the pricing. It's nice to go back to a central dashboard. Maybe that's what SolarWinds has, some kind of a one ring to rule them all, dashboard
exactly.
to figure out what's going on and be able to manage all these different services.
Yeah, that's a good way to think of it. And that's the way that we've approached the problems and challenges of, you know, exactly described. So whether it be cloud computing and, all of the different choices around that and the different, directions that folks have decided to take, whether they take a hybrid cloud or whether they take certain apps and actually move it to public cloud, how they look at virtualization, you know, do they You know, do they interconnect that with the physical network? Do they separate it? Mobility, software-defined networking, which I know is a subject near and dear to your heart, and compliance, and how do all of these things come together, and how do we provide visibility from an end-to-end perspective and allow a user, whether they're a network admin, sysadmin, storage admin, database admin, to have a single place to go. So as you said, one ring to rule them all, one ring to rule them all, but not necessarily start with everything at once, which is, you know, what you would typically describe as a traditional enterprise approach, which is, hey, buy this monolithic platform that solves all of these things. And, you know, maybe in a year, 2 years, lots of professional services dollars later, you know, you'll actually be up and running. We think a more pragmatic approach is what's called for.
I was moderating a panel at an event on software-defined networks, and there must have been 100 people in the audience, 150 people. And a gentleman in the back raised his hand and said, I want to do a survey. I said, okay, big guy, do a survey. He said, raise your hand if you're using a software-defined network right now. And no one raised their hand. And my comment was, maybe we have some agencies here with three letters in their name that can't say what they're doing, what they aren't doing. And one of the people on the panel stood up and said, well, you know, I was just in a panel discussion in Florida, and software-defined network was a trending topic, and many people were using it. And whether they admit to using it or not, I think it's just it's a skill set that people have to have. And I think many of my listeners may want to have a definition of what an SDN is, but that's really the first step. The next step is, okay, how do you manage it? What about compliance? How does it fit in with the other system? Is it running? How effective is it? Does it help the applications run faster or not? It's one thing to know about software-defined networks, but what good is it if you can't incorporate in a network to help the agency achieve their goals?
Right, right. And so to start with just the definition of software-defined network, I think the purists would say, you know, it's a separation of the control plane, right? So the thing that actually decides the rules and policies that govern where network traffic goes on the network, and separation from the infrastructure that drives that forwarding process. And, you know, I think that with the advent of things like VMware NSX, which allows you to set up virtual routers, virtual switches, even now virtual firewalls and load balancers, you know, that's become, I think, much more complex in terms of what SDN actually means, right? So it could be as soon as you set up a VMware ESX environment, you have a virtual switch. Is that a software-defined network? And I think in many ways, I think it needs to be thought of in that way, because now you have physical and virtual coming together, and those interconnections are going to have to be troubleshooted. So if you're a network engineer that is not thinking about software-defined networking or what virtualized networking means to you and your role, and you're not understanding that, you know, that will present several key challenges as you continue to expand virtualization within your environment.
If you're listening to this interview and there's snow on the ground and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're reading through some email, you might want to go to SolarWinds, because they deal with so many different products. They have kind of like an education hub is what I guess that's what I call your website. It's like an education hub to learn about all kinds of different things. It's thwack.solarwinds.com. There's blogs there. You can participate in the community. There's whiteboard demonstrations there. There's guys in white coats talking about SDNs.
I mean, SolarWinds Labs. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a couple of those strange guys talking. But you know, I mean, a lot of people are confused about it, and a lot of people are wary, because you know, a lot of representations are made about some products. And how's that for a fair statement? Many representations are made, and some of the representations are fair, and some
fair.
May not yeah. be accurate.
I think that's fair. And I think that software-defined networking, you know, it's you know, just sort of how vendors work, right, with industries. They glom onto specific trends or fads in order to build awareness. But I think that, you know, if you get to the heart of SDN and kind of where most of the organizations, at least that we talk to, are at, it really comes down to virtualized networking, which I think is a reality in many organizations. And I think that's moving actually much quicker than, you know, that purest separation of the control where, you know, everything is just controlled by programming, right, and by software. And so now, you know, everyone is in full control. It's certainly used by larger service providers, but I don't think it's made it into the mainstream, which would, you know, as evidenced by the survey that you did at that show.
Yeah. Let's take a break and come back. I want to talk about self-service automation and a conversation I had with some Amazon people about that, which is kind of fascinating. And I want to talk about this survey and the whole role of computer security. I teach at Georgetown, and at Georgetown, when they offer a class in computer security, it gets filled up the first day. That's obviously what my audience and what the listeners want to know about. It's a high priority for everyone who's listening. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Chris LaPointe, Vice President, Product Management at SolarWinds. Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Chris LaPointe, Vice President of Product Management at SolarWinds. We've been talking about his company and how they can help my users manage networks. And many of my listeners and my students read blogs. I force all my students to write a blog, and I have a blog. My blog is Tech Tuesday Blog, and I'll be writing about this interview. Do you write a blog? Is there a blog maybe my listeners can read to keep up with this technology? What do you recommend?
So I think that, and we talked about it a bit earlier, is our community site. There's a number of different blogs. So we have our product blog, which actually I contribute, as well as folks from my team. We have the whiteboard, which is more of just sort of a general blog. And then we have guest bloggers that really are across the industry. So, you know, network experts, security experts that come and share their opinions and then just allow, you know, the community of hundreds, 100,000 plus to actually just have a discussion about the things that are going on within IT. I do have a monthly guest blog on Signal, afcea.org.
My listeners know that
one. Yes, I figured they might. So I do have a guest blog on Signal. But otherwise, you know, I really focus a lot of my blogging around the SolarWinds community and our site, thwack.com.
And I think, you know, I used the term education hub earlier. It's really what it seems like. If you have a tool that can manage different types of virtualization software, well, the folks who come up with these tools, they must understand the strengths and weaknesses of Microsoft virtualization, strengths and weaknesses of Citrix, strengths and know how to apply them. Because let me tell you something, if Microsoft's going to sit in that chair, they're not going to say anything about VMware's strengths or weaknesses, but maybe VMware is the right tool for your agency. So SolarWinds at least is a forum for this type of discussion, I would think.
Right. And that's exactly what we've tried to create with the THWACK community, is a place where you can actually have that conversation, where you can talk to Not the IT managers or CIOs. I mean, those conversations are interesting and important. There are other forums for that. But the IT practitioners that are having to deal with these problems on a daily basis, where do they go to, as you said, weigh the trade-offs of VMware versus Hyper-V or Hyper-V versus Xen, and have those kinds of just, you know, very frank, candid conversations about, you know, where should they go? And then how do they manage them, right? And that's obviously the next step once you've chosen a technology.
Because what if you're in an environment where commercial organizations are, where they not only have a hybrid cloud, they're working with a couple of cloud vendors, and there may be one application where one type of virtualization optimizes experience for users and another application where a different type of virtualization optimizes experience. Well, guess what? You can't, you know, have one size fits all, especially not in this community. I mean, look at these agencies here. They have all kinds of different things going on at the same time. You can't say, okay, size 9 shoe for everyone in the agency. Well, going to have a lot of uncomfortable people with that.
One size definitely does not fit all, especially given the rate of change of technology and all of the choices. You know, we talked about that earlier. There's just so many choices. You know, do I choose Azure or do I choose AWS or do I choose Rackspace or I go with IBM? There's just so many choices in terms of where you actually go and deploy your services. So the ability to have that conversation, understand the trade-offs. You made the point about optimizations, but then also, you know, okay, I've chosen AWS. How do I go and actually optimize that experience for this particular application that I'm trying to deploy? You know, the hope is, in terms of what we're trying to create, is a place where you can have that conversation with other people who have been there, done that.
Amazon Web Services, AWS, is getting very popular with the federal government. And, you know, on the one hand, you have to have tools to be able to optimize Amazon Web Services. There are companies that are sprouting up just to help you optimize billing involved with Amazon Web. There are agencies that are spending $600,000 a month on Amazon Web Services. Well, guess what? If you're not using those efficiently, you're throwing the money out the window.
Right. And there's a whole, you know, cloud brokering, you know, market that has sort of sprung up just to manage that complexity of how do I deal with billing and services? How do I actually provide an app store for the business or in the Fed case, an agency that where different agencies will want to do different things, but we want to provide a common experience and hopefully collaborate in terms of trying to drive, you know, better pricing for government initiatives. So all of those things, I think, are problems to be solved. And I think it's getting more and more complex as there tends to be this, I think in a lot of cases, a shadow IT movement as everything as a service has sort of come to fruition, where different agencies may actually be looking at different products to do to solve the same problem, and they're potentially not talking to one another. So how do you provide some management around that? And then how does IT, you know, understand what's actually happening in terms of all of these as a service applications that be deployed across a network, so that they can maintain a level of service for the end users, which again, as we talked about earlier, are connecting from anything, anywhere, right? Mobile device, smartphone, tablet, laptop, remote access, wireless, from a WAN, right? And so, you know, all of those are creating complexities in terms of how we need to think about cloud-based applications and the choices that that we make as IT professionals.
One thing I discovered just recently is that with Amazon Web Services, they will gladly accept tons and tons of information. You can switch data sets over there, but getting them back to your cloud or getting them back to your server, they're very metered with that approach. And so it may be a one-way street, and they're not going to tell you everything. And so I think you'd have to go to some kind of a third party that can organize and sit down with you and say, okay, here's the strength and weakness of Amazon Redshift. And we know they bill by the hour, but this is the good news about this size. And they talk about terabytes, but it's just it does get kind of tricky because, you know, a terabyte may not be enough, or maybe too much, or guess what? In 6 months, it's not going to be enough. So how do you plan for those inconsistencies? And I'm thinking that the best way to plan is to go to a community with 100,000 users and say, well, what did you guys do? I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but if I know 100,000 people, if someone in there is going to have that same experience, going to say, John, stay away from Amazon Redshift and look at this, or maybe look at Amazon Redshift just for that application.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just to layer on another concern IT professionals go through that exercise of determining, you know, what cloud service are they going to use, a cloud service if for what particular applications, how will they optimize them, is the additional layer of security as they're thinking through the problem, which, you know, to a certain extent has actually caused, some backlash in the past around the move to public cloud. You know, I think everyone maybe 3 or 4 years ago thought that we'd have been all public cloud by now, because why wouldn't you? The utility is there. It's less expensive. You don't have to manage. But as you think about security, there's sort of a pullback. And I think that's what's actually, you know, caused the number of private clouds to actually balloon, because people have been focused around, you know, how do we really manage security across that hybrid environment, or across a pure cloud environment where we're not exactly sure, you know, can we get access to the data? How do we get the data back if we need to? Answer all those tough questions.
And that's why I think it's important that you're writing a blog for FC and Nova, because you're going to bring a perspective that's unusual. If they have Teresa Carlson from Amazon write a blog post, well, what do you think she's going to say? I mean, or Susie Adams from Microsoft, or Tom from Citrix. I mean, they're going to have a bias. But if I'm reading your blog post, I'm going to say, hey, this guy, Chris, he doesn't have a dog in the fight. Or your geeks, whatever you happen to, they don't have a dog in the fight. The dog in the fight is coming up with a way to efficiently manage what you have. It's a whole different perspective.
Right. Now, so I can't claim that we're, you know, purely objective. You know, we obviously are in the business of selling IT management software, but yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, for us, you know, it comes down to a connection with the end users and their problems, with the IT practitioners and what they're experiencing on a daily basis, the pain they face. And so we really have to understand that at a different level and make sure that we can have an honest conversation about, you know, where they should go. And maybe in all cases, SolarWinds isn't the right vendor for you from a management perspective. There are certain things that we don't do, and we would gladly recommend other solutions. In fact, we have a number of recommended other tools that you might actually even consider on our community site to help you solve your problems.
We better not let your boss know you said that in the radio.
Can we edit that part out?
Yeah. You'll be working at McDonald's next week saying, want fries with that, or wherever they have it, McDonald's, I don't know anymore.
No, that's fine. We want to be perfectly transparent. And so, you know, and I think that goes to a number of other things that we do on our community site, in addition to providing what we're working on. So rather than the traditional vendor roadmap of, hey, we'll change it based upon the conversation. You know, we actually are transparent about this is literally what we're working on. We share that with the community as well. So transparency is really part of who we are. And so I definitely wouldn't deny that.
One part of being transparent is your Twitter feed at solarwinds_GOV. You can go there and you can be see links to YouTube videos on your products. And I want to take a break and come back and talk more about the video I watched this morning about something going from app to the LUN, L-U-N. I've never heard of what a LUN is, but that'll be interesting to find out after the break. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Chris LaPointe, Vice President, Product Management at SolarWinds. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Chris LaPointe, Vice President of Product Management at SolarWinds. We're talking about his company, SolarWinds, and some of the tools that they have to help you do network management, manage your virtualization systems, monitor your servers, do compliance, a whole long list of within the general category of making sure your agency's got their applications running smoothly, you know, and that's what it's all about. I went to your Twitter feed this morning at SolarWinds_GOV, and I scrolled down and I saw a lot of links to some videos. And so I watched all these videos and these guys in these lab coats and this guy and that guy, you know, talking about this and that. And one slide I just impressed on me was everything from the app to the LUN. So what the heck is a LUN? Is this a special thing that you guys have, or what is a L-U-N?
Yeah, so the storage admins listening will definitely know what that is. I mean, it's effectively a partitioning of your storage array. And eventually that gets basically provided up to your virtualization administrator, who then ties that to a data store. So that's what supports the virtualization storage environment and then ultimately feeds up to the applications. And when we say application alone, we're really saying from the application all the way to the back-end storage, so everything in between. So the virtual machine that the application potentially is running on, or multiple virtual machines the application could be running on, to the actual virtual host, to the back-end database, the storage, and then obviously the LUN. And that's important to mention, because in terms of tracing issues and troubleshooting issues, especially in you know, we've talked a lot about the challenges of today's hybrid environments, that's extremely important to be able to, you know, understand where exactly within the application stack the problem lies. And that's what we're really talking about bringing together there when we say app to LUN.
And that's what we talked about in the first part of the show, is that someone goes up to poor Chris and goes, Chris, the system's slowing down. What's going on? And Chris says, no, it's not the network. And I say, oh, I think it is a network. You will finally have some tools where you can say, well, I have this tool here that goes from the app to the LUN. And it turns out that it is XYZ or what happens to be. I don't know what happens to be.
If you're a network or a virtualization admin, you can make your storage admin really happy if you know what a LUN is. So look it up and understand that, because it in a lot of cases, and in fact, I think, you know, the saying goes, if you have virtualization, then you have a storage problem, you know, because the back end of virtualization effectively is storage. And so a lot of the things that that happen in terms of contention between virtual machines, you know, as virtual machines are just dynamically being moved, or in the VMware environment, vMotioned, from one host to another, that creates potential contention depending on the application loads running on those VMs that need to be understood.
My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray. I tweet about some ridiculous things. I know some characters in town, and I retweet some of the things I have to say. So I not only do technology, I do social media, and I pick on some of the television personalities in town who I know. A lot of people are listening to this interview going, this guy's from Texas. Doesn't sound like he's from Texas. And technology background. I wonder what kind of smartphone he has. Oh, in Texas, they all have Androids. We'll find out. And so I've come put together a scientific 10-question test that all my guests have to take. And this is for the benefit of the listeners. And they can get a better handle on you and go, well, I might know that guy a little bit better.
So, sounds good.
So the first question is, so I break into your house in Texas. How many old school funky desktops do we have sitting around there?
Actually, I'm ashamed to say I still have one.
Well, that's something the wrong that, answer.
Yeah, my wife has me keep it around for backing up photos and videos, but I've got an old Windows media server that I set up with, you know, and it was
It was practical
for that while, but dirt cheap, and I was able to set up with 8 terabytes, and so it backs up photos and videos.
Oh, that's not
she's
bad.
An avid photographer, and so she has to have some place to put those, and, you know, God help us if we lose some photos. So,
so
got to have that.
How many cell phones have you personally purchased in the last year?
I have not purchased any cell phones in the last year. The last purchase was 2 years ago, was when the 5S came out. So I have an iPhone. And then, of course, had to buy my wife an iPhone, and then
well, I know that drill.
You know, and then you know the 4G and 3G end up percolating down, you know, to the rest of the family.
Mm. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do. It's at CLAPOINT at Cela Point.
And do you have a personal blog?
As we were talking about earlier,
so
I blog primarily on
the and for FCA too. So that's good.
And Signal.
And we know you have an Apple and. Bunch of apps on that phone. What's the most popular app you've used in the last 30 days?
So we're going through a remodel. So there's this app called Photo Measures. The problem was I needed the ability to take a picture rather than having to draw it all out, take a picture of a space and then be able to draw measurements. And so that way I could reference that as I was going through and deciding
my wife would love that
what goes where, you know, where does the headboard go? Where does the mirror go? And all of those kinds of things. And also draw it out for the for the general contractor they're working with. So that was, I don't know. I think every single day, right? There's an app for that kind of moment.
There is an app for that.
And
that was
that's been my favorite for the last 3 days at least.
How many tablet devices floating around your house?
We have one, an iPad, and then it's amazing. We use our phone, maybe because it's just out of sheer laziness. We don't want to get up out of bed, but we'll just use our phone versus pulling up the laptop or tablet. And I think that's. I don't know that we're necessarily unique in that respect these days.
What social networking sites are you active in?
Obviously, very active on our community site, thwack.com, but also Facebook and LinkedIn. Primarily a watcher on Facebook of newsfeed. I wait for other people to say interesting things, and then I chime in. But on LinkedIn, generally very active as it relates to just understanding, what customers are out there that we can interact with, and also, folks that we can bring onto our product management team, of course.
You know, I was listening to your answer, and it dawned on me that term is not very radio friendly. It's THWACK, thwack. I mean, you listen to that in your car, and you go, "What was that?" And
there are various misspellings of that that could lead you astray into bad places. So,
okay, now here's the real question: last book you read was electronic or paper?
It was electronic. For sure.
You're right in the middle of the pack here. I'll have to run this through my computer in my basement and print out
whether
my green
I'm
bar and send it
enough.
To you. Yeah, whether you're a card-carrying nerd or not. You know, a real nerd would have bought a phone every 3 months and complained about it and got another one.
Yeah,
and,
I'm a little bit more pragmatic in the approach. But yeah, no, that I can tell you that I definitely I'm definitely compelled on a weekly, potentially daily basis to actually go look at, should I go look at Android? It feels like I'm getting lapped here in terms of technology and features and functions. But then, you know, the pragmatic side of me says, well, but I'm able to do what I need to do with what I've got. So
that's the right answer. Well, tomorrow you're going to be speaking at a FedScoop conference, I think. So I'm not going to ask about tomorrow. I'm going to ask about 5 years from tomorrow. So where's SolarWinds going to be headed in 5 years? And what about SolarWinds and the federal government? Greater adoption, take advantage of this? And are there going to be new players? I mean, we all know the usual suspects. Is there going to be some LaPointe cloud going to pop up out of nowhere and compete with Microsoft and Amazon and Google and HP? What's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 years here with the whole idea of managing all these different systems?
I think it really comes down to, you know, that sort of simple picture that I was trying to draw for the folks listening is that, you know, it comes down to users connecting through networks to applications. And so what SolarWinds wants to be in 5 years is the ultimate solution for troubleshooting and fixing issues. So whether it be related to user experience or application performance, which is really where everything is converging around, we want to be at the forefront of that and solving that in a way that it's not just restricted to the folks that have a $100,000 plus budget, but the practitioners that can use the tools and deploy them and afford them. So really making that capability available to the masses.
I have kind of a self-serving question here. I noticed that you have a whiteboard. Have you used the whiteboard on your website and done any little chalk talks or anything? And I've looked at this thing called, I think it's called Sprocket or Sprule software that does it. Are you familiar with this whiteboard software at all?
Yeah, so we have not done whiteboarding, but that's actually a great idea. That's essentially what our SolarWinds Labs. So those two strange guys in, actually,
those
I guess,
are the guys I must
three
have seen
now,
with
three
yeah.
strange guys in white lab coats that talk about, and the idea is very much that it's more of a chalk talk, you know, discussion around technology. In fact, I think in one episode when they're talking about deep packet inspection, they actually use Legos to describe, you know, how TCP/IP works.
Was it awesome?
It was awesome. I thought it was. Those guys are pretty phenomenal in terms of just coming up with new ways to explain technology in a way that everyone can get it.
Well, you can't have a conversation with a software developer unless they're standing next to a whiteboard anyway, and then they argue with different colors and go back and forth and back and forth. So it makes perfect sense to have two guys in white coats describing what your company has to offer. We're going to have to end this conversation predicting what's going to happen in SolarWinds in the future. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Chris LaPointe, Vice President, Product Management at SolarWinds. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromec, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.